Good afternoon. You're listening to Campus K News for Thursday, January 22nd. I'm Taylor Heckert. Petersburg's varsity Lady Vikings competed in Wrangell's homecoming basketball games last weekend. While the girls didn't win either of their games, Coach Matt Powick tells KFSK that the high schoolers successfully tried some new strategies on the court.
Honestly, couldn't be happier with how my kids played. We had talked last week about just being fun to watch. You know, that's been a focus of ours of, you know, there's no point in being out on the floor unless you're going to have fun with it and you're going to be fun to watch and play hard. You know, anytime you go on the road, you would like to take at least one game. We lost both games, but I put a full court press in for the girls last Tuesday. We spent maybe 30 minutes on it just to kind of introduce it. And Friday night, I just thought, you know what better way to practice it and see where we're, you know, the things they needed to work on than to just give it a try.
And since I am new to basketball, mm-hmm. What is a full court press?
Yeah. So a lot of times, full court press is where you just, as soon as the other team has the ball, you're playing defense for the entire length of the court. You know, there's a philosophy of just getting back and kind of protecting the basket. It's a little bit safer way to play. And it's been a trend for me this season that I think we just need to be more aggressive on the defensive end. At the end of the day, it's a bunch of high school kids out there. And so we're going to try to make the other team make decisions under pressure and under duress and make decisions when they're uncomfortable rather than just let them kind of bring the ball up the floor at their leisure. We're gonna put pressure on them full court. And it worked. We have kind of historically had a problem with getting off to a slow start in games. And we didn't see that this weekend. And I think part of that is you can't full court press and get off to a slow start. Like you have to be ready to go. A couple standouts for me this weekend, I think, would have been like Ricca Miller. I asked her to cover literally every inch of the floor on defense because she plays at the top of the press and then at the bottom of the zone when we move back into our half court defense. So she's literally having to play at the very top of the press and then rotate all the way back to the baseline. And so never complained once, you know, played her heart out, to be able to play defense at that level and also contribute on the offensive end was great. Another, Cadence Flint also had kind of a breakout game on Saturday. She scored in double figures. I think that's the first time she scored double figures for me at the varsity level. And she's also another player that I asked to play pretty much the entire coverage of the court. So,
and I know when we talked last time, you talked about this new defensive strategy for the season, being more aggressive. Do you think we've only had one game in between them, but how is this going?
I think it's been good. What I really like is how much the kids have bought into it. Like, they're excited to get to play that kind of defense. They're excited to see what happens, you know. Like, it is a little bit riskier, but I think it's more fun to play that way. It's more fun to watch games that are played that way. The action is up and down the floor because there's a lot more turnovers and things like that. So I have no intention of changing my philosophy and no reason to believe that it's not going to continue to be successful.
Okay. Yeah. Then looking forward, we have Craig this next weekend. Yep. What have you guys been working on this week to prepare for those games?
Yeah, so Craig is a very good team. They beat Ketchikan at Ketchikan. So for a 2A team to beat a 4A team, like, that doesn't happen very often. So we know we've got our work cut out for us going down there. They're a very physical team. They're going to press us, but I think we match up well against them. We have similar personnel to them. So just going hard at each other every day in practice by default kind of prepares us to play against that team.
That was Petersburg High School girls basketball coach Matt Powick talking with KFSK. The Lady Vikings will be competing in Craig this weekend. The Wrangell School Board voted unanimously on Monday to open a new K-12 certified librarian position that also focuses on media and literacy instruction. But some say the district should adjust existing roles instead of creating a new one. KSDK's Colette Zarnicki has more.
Wrangell Superintendent Joshua Garrett says the new librarian position would manage both school libraries and teach media literacy and research at the secondary level.
The goal is to inflame the love of reading in our students across the entire district.
Garrett says the role would also help students navigate artificial intelligence and what it means for education.
Not necessarily accepting, you know, whatever artificial intelligence means for us, but to be thinking about it, to be preparing for it, because life is here now.
But not everyone supports this new position. Second grade teacher Allie Howell told the board the district should address other staffing needs first.
Essential roles are being temporarily filled by volunteers, community members, while some remain unmet entirely.
Howell says those gaps include crossing guards, the loss of homework club, and a lack of certified intervention specialists. She asked the board to consider retitling the position as an intervention specialist or expanding the job description to ensure the most vulnerable students are supported.
Temporary solutions cannot replace stable, appropriately credentialed staffing.
Superintendent Garrett responded that the new role is not intended to be an intervention position and said the district already has the staff needed to provide those services. He noted the district employs 5 certified Alaska Reed specialists that could fill that need and said addressing learning challenges is a matter of using existing staff more precisely. Alaska Reed specialists support the lowest performing 25% of students in kindergarten through third grade. Those students receive extra intensive assistance every day through the program. The board ultimately voted unanimously to approve the new position. The position will cost the district roughly $73,000 this school year, with $41,000 going towards salary. In Wrangell, I'm Colette Zarnicki.
Alaska's cruise industry is booming, and American Cruise Lines wants in on the action. The U.S.-based company offers passengers high-end voyages on small ships, and it plans to expand in Alaska in the years to come. But that plan doesn't come without hurdles. That's because it requires prized mooring space in harbors that are tight to begin with. In Haines, the company said it would pitch in to rebuild a public dock to solve that problem, and then backed out amid community pushback. The Alaska Desk's Avery Alfelt reports.
American Cruise Lines rescinded its offer late last week to pitch in $4 million to help build a new dock in Letnikoff Cove in Haines. That would have been in exchange for at least 2 decades of priority docking. The move came amid fierce opposition from some in the community. Looking out over the area on a recent blustery day, longtime fisherman Brian O'Reilly said the concerns revolved around the company taking up space on the dock and in the cove that's busy to begin with.
Stay out of our way. We don't want them cruising around through all our nets and all of our crab pots and shrimp pots and everybody doing their thing. Leave us alone. Go someplace where we're not.
Fishermen and other boaters used to tie up and tuck in here amid dangerous weather. But that changed when the dock failed in 2024. The Haines Borough has since explored options to replace it, and the closest it came to a solution was the American Cruise Lines offer. The deal would have nearly covered the local match requirement for a state grant. It also would have reserved a large chunk of the dock for cruises on certain days, but allowed public access otherwise. Haines Harbor Master Henry Pollan says the company did not provide a reason for dropping its offer, but ultimately, he says, the deal would have been the quickest way forward.
We never really stopped looking at our funding options, but the funding landscape is pretty grim right now with the state and federal government reeling in a lot of their expenditures.
The about-face comes as communities across Alaska struggle to maintain, fix, and replace aging marine infrastructure. That's particularly the case given that doing so often requires government grants, which are increasingly hard to come by. Robert Venables is the director of Southeast Conference, a Juneau-based nonprofit. He says many of those grants require local matching funds, which can be a heavy lift for small communities.
Having an outside partner that can provide those funds can really accelerate progress and infrastructure development, and also leave behind something that is more usable for the local communities, which makes it a win-win.
American Cruise Lines has made that pitch in at least 3 different Southeast communities, including Haines, as it works to expand its Alaska business. The company brought its 2nd ship to the state last season, and it plans to bring a 3rd in 2028, after which point it aims to introduce about 1 ship per year, the company's president, Charlie Robertson, said during a recent Wrangell Assembly meeting.
In order to do this, we've identified the need to invest in our port infrastructure.
In Petersburg, for instance, the borough is still negotiating with the cruise line over what a potential infrastructure deal might entail. but it's poised to look pretty different from the Haines proposal. Petersburg Harbor Master Glorian Woolen says it seems American Cruise Lines may propose leasing waterfront from the borough and building its own private dock. She says so far, locals have focused on ensuring they have a say over details, including the size of ships that visit and how often they come.
The community doesn't want to give over control, and American Cruise Line has seemed pretty responsive to that.
The borough considered building a public dock and then leasing it to the cruise line, but Woolen says the idea came with a big price tag and concerns over whether the investment would pay off for locals.
At that point, it became, well, you know, what's in it for us?
Ultimately, she says she appreciates the company's interest in establishing roots in Petersburg and, quote, putting their money where their mouth is. Wrangell is further along in the process. Earlier this month, the assembly unanimously approved a 40-year Tideslands lease with the company. Per the agreement, the company would build a floating dock that would be open for public use when ships are not in port. Back on the water, in Haines, O'Reilly says he has no problem with American Cruise Lines itself. He thinks its small ships with fewer than 200 passengers are better than the gargantuan floating cities that bring thousands of people in one day. O'Reilly just doesn't want the company's 270-foot ships in a cove or tied up to a dock that's long been reserved for locals.
I mean, I'd rather have no dock than have those guys in my face and then take up.
As to the $4 million offer, O'Reilly says that's, quote, chump change. With reporting from Colette Zarnicki in Wrangell, I'm Avery Elfelt in Haines.
Governor Mike Dunleavy says he'll soon propose a statewide sales tax as part of his larger plan to stabilize the state's finances.
There will be a temporary seasonal sales tax concept put forth for discussion with the legislature.
Dunleavy made the comments during a cabinet meeting live streamed on his Facebook page yesterday. At the meeting, Dunleavy and the state's 15 department commissioners outlined their accomplishments over the past 7 years. Dunleavy says a fiscal plan, along with moves to advance a natural gas pipeline from the North Slope, are his top two priorities for the legislative session that began Tuesday. Dunleavy has been tight-lipped about the specifics of his plan. The political news site The Alaska Landmine reported Tuesday that the plan would include a seasonal sales tax, a limit on government spending, changes to oil taxes, and a new formula for the permanent fund dividend. During the meeting, Dunleavy said he planned to start rolling out his fiscal plan next week. A required 10-year plan released alongside his budget in December identified some $1.6 billion in unspecified new annual revenue starting in July 2027. Dunleavy said he expects the plan to raise revenues, quote, pretty close to that mark.
The proposal in the fiscal plan has multiple components, and basically what it is, it's a roadmap to inject stability, especially over the next 5 years when revenue is not quite what it'll be on the years out.
Dunleavy emphasized that most of the measures he'd propose would serve as a temporary half-decade bridge. After 5 years, he expects state revenues to rebound thanks to increased oil production, growth in the permanent fund, and the possible natural gas pipeline. Lawmakers have said they'll consider Dunleavy's proposals, but it's unclear if a sales tax and other components of Dunleavy's plan will have enough support to pass the state House and Senate. Dunleavy privately told lawmakers in 2023 he planned to introduce a sales tax, but he ultimately did not. For Campus K, I'm Taylor Heckert.